Thank you so much for the beautiful music. Anybody here ever thought about being a frog? That's what I thought. Neither have I. But I saw a quote this week, and it was talking about stress, and it says, "Why not be a frog? For at least they eat what bugs them." And I'm not going to ask anybody today to eat anything, but I do want to encourage you to have the right attitude as we enter into this pending holiday season. Here a couple weeks ago, I was out doing probably what many of you were doing. I was winterizing, pulling in my hoses, raking up some last-minute leaves, and looking for the snow shovel I'd like to soon forget, and head south with some of you snowbirds. But I ran across a can in the garage, and it had a label on it, and it said, "Warning, contents under pressure." And I thought, I'd like to hang that label on a few people I know. Have you ever seen so many stressful people in these days in which we live? There is a well-known stress gauge called the Holmes-Rey Stress Scale, which lists about 100 or so of the top things that people get stressed out about in life. And it's really rated on a scale, everything from the loss of a child, and you know how painful that is, to the loss of a family member, a spouse, to divorce, to internal family dynamics, to major illness, and so forth. A whole list, a laundry list of terrible things that can cause us to be stressful. And they've done a lot of research, and they've done a lot of looking at stress in life, and they found out that the single most stressful time of the year is this period between Thanksgiving and New Year's. And you're thinking, well, wow, that is something, because this ought to be a great time of the year, filled with such bliss and pageantry and lots of things to celebrate, family and friends. But if you stop and think about it, this is also a very stressful time for a lot of people. People are thinking about presents and parties. They're thinking about things that didn't go so well this past year. They're thinking about taxes. They're thinking about credit card bills and so forth mounting. They're thinking about all kinds of worry. Maybe those relatives are coming over that have a difficult time with you because you have a different political point of view, and there's past hurt, and there's all kinds of issues out there that really this time of the year creates a lot of stress for a lot of people, and the stress level goes up significant. And someone has said that this is the season of being uptight. And you know what? I might believe it. I was over at the mall the other day, and I got to tell you, there's nothing that destroys the Christmas spirit and the holiday spirit fast enough than competing for a parking spot. People are honking their horns and shaking their fists and flashing their lights and all kinds of other things out there, and everybody's uptight, and it really spoils the holiday, doesn't it? Well, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving this week, and I want to encourage you to go into this week right from the beginning with the right attitude. Even if your life is stinking right now, even if things are not working out for you, even though maybe there's been some setbacks, maybe you're facing some illness in your family, or there's been some things that you've been struggling with, I want to encourage you today that you can go into this season and still have a tremendous amount to be thankful about. Even if it's tough times for you, even if the culture seems to be so divided, even if the news is nasty, and even if the world seems to be falling apart, there's still lots of things today that you can be grateful about. And you know, the Bible says, "May you always be joyful in your life in the Lord." And you're thinking, well, how in the world is that possible? Well, I want to share a couple scriptures with you today, and you'll probably hear me come back to these because, you know, I'm not alone in this, because I'm with you, and I have to constantly recorrect my course and not get so stressed out, because there are lots of things that we could get our eyes off the Lord about, and we could turn to other things, and we could get upset and live a life like that. But I want to encourage you with some of these Bible texts, because they really can be a source of strength for you. It can really help you devise a strategy to maneuver through not only this season and this week, but really throughout your life. And one of those texts that really speaks to me is in the writings of Paul, there in Philippians 4, and he simply says this: "Don't be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. And then he says this, finally, whatever is true and noble, whatever is right and pure, whatever is lovely and admirable, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. I find this text to give us some keys to joyful surviving. And I know it's easier said than done, for sure. Easier said than done. There's a lot more things that we could say about this, but I know we say these are simple things to state, but they're a lot more difficult to apply. And especially in our day where there's so much conflict, it seems, there's every other week, it seems, there's a mass shooting, there's people burned out, there's some type of catastrophe, there's all kinds of discord within our country. Medications have just, and all the health care is just outrageous today for people and families. There seems to be brokenness. There's people on drugs. And people might be calling for a moratorium on Thanksgiving. But I want to say again that we can really, with the right attitude, we can really enter into this week and this season giving God thanks. And after all, this is what people have done through the years, isn't it? One such writer is this text that we've shared today in Psalm 66. The writer here is reflecting on his life. He's reflecting on the past, looking at the present, and rejoicing because he knows in the future God is going to be there just like he has been in the past, in the present. We're not really sure who wrote this psalm, although there's no evidence to suggest that it was anybody other than Psalmist David. But here we find the writer is thanking God and testifying to the personal experience of God's amazing grace. And thus the reason I've titled this message today, Thanksgiving in Three Tenses. First of all, this writer here is talking about the past. And he says here very clearly, come and see the works of God, his acts toward us, how awesome they are. And you know, every one of us here today can be thankful for what God has done in the past. Even in this pending Christmas, it's always amazed me how in the darkest of the world, when there's the least amount of light coming here into the planet, that's when, you see, God chose to intersect his only begotten son into this world, that glimmer of hope. What tremendous joy that can be ours today. Think of the resurrection and the cross. Think of the great affirmations from the pen of people like Apostle Paul, even in the dungeons of life. They spoke words of liberation and freedom and encouragement and hope to us through all these years. Think about the people that have made us faith community today. Think about all the people through these last 50 or so years that have sacrificed, that have given, that have come to meetings and stayed here late, that have worked and that have made us who we are. Those that have gone out into the community to share the love of God. Those in your life that have been so instrumental and you didn't even really think about it and really stop to ponder it at the time. You know, it's gratitude that unlocks the fullness of life, and it turns what we have into enough and more. I say to you, it turns what we have, which seems like a little, into a great smorgasbord of gratitude. And it turns really denial into acceptance and chaos into order, and confusion into clarity. And it can turn a meal into a feast and a house into a home, and it can really transform a stranger into a great friend. And gratitude makes sense of our past, and it brings peace for us today, and it really creates a vision for us even tomorrow. And if you believe this is right, it will transform the next 364 days of your life. Paul says, when you pray, do so with thanksgiving. You know, there used to be a song that we sang a lot in church, and I can remember growing up as a kid, and it was, count your blessings and name them one by one. And this past week, I was really doing that, making a list of some things that I'm really grateful for. And you know, the older I get, the longer that list becomes. I start thinking and realizing, I couldn't see it then, but I can now, of how God has been at work in my life and the blessing that this person has been to me and how I've been gifted with this and how I've received this. And I didn't think about it at the time, but you know, you start realizing how grateful you are for what God has given to you. And that's what this psalmist is doing. And not only is he calling us to think about the past, but even the present, to thank God for today, the gift that is so precious for us today. What do you have today to be thankful for? You know, I love to hear the blessings that God has poured out. And this psalmist here says, praise God, he keeps us alive. And you know, in a real sense, the good old days never existed, did they? If you stop and think about it, those folks in yesteryear, they still had the same kind of problems that we do in some way, shape, or form. I mean, think about Paul and other great leaders of the Christian church. They were enduring persecution. We talk about the good old days. These people were really going through the mill, weren't they? There was people being sacrificed, martyrdom. There was all kinds of difficult times. And yet he was penning some of these great famous letters that we find such comfort in from the smelly dungeon and from the foulest of a prison. But they believed God was alive and on the throne, and their actions and writings have blessed the church and us for centuries. And there's tremendous opportunities today, if you stop and think about it, that are really being gifted to the church. You know, our Christian faith is just exploding in such places as Africa. And they're telling us in just a couple of years there's going to be more Methodists in Africa than all of the United States. The gospel is truly exploding and people are coming to faith. In fact, new opportunities in Latin America and Eastern Europe. And God is alive and his Holy Spirit is working in a mighty way today. And God brings out the best, I have to say, even when we're under pressure. There's another verse that speaks to me about this, and it's one I shared a couple weeks ago. And you'll probably hear me time and time again come to it. But it's in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, where the NIV version of the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But listen to what the Jerusalem Bible translation says. It says, unload all your worries on him, since he is looking after you. And that word in the Greek that's somehow translated cast in things like the NIV and the RSV and some of those versions here in this Bible is translated unload. You know, prayer is a tremendous release valve. And I love that word in the Greek that's translated unload. It literally means just to drop it. It doesn't say throw it 15 yards. It doesn't say heave it with all your might. Or throw it or toss it, but it says this is the kind of load that's so burdensome, it's so heavy that you need to just drop it wherever it's at right now. He says that's what God says to do with your worries, to dump it on God, to release it, to let it go. I read here some time back that some of the major life insurance companies conducted a study and they discovered that people who go to church on a weekly basis live 5.7 years longer than those who don't. That's an interesting statistic, and maybe it's because people are practicing that who are really those Christ followers. They are dumping it upon the Lord. They're going before God with a thanksgiving and that attitude of gratitude and that air of generosity about them, and they're really allowing God to lead their lives and take their worries. They're decompressing and letting God have all their trouble. In the Phillips translation of the Bible, that verse says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon God, for you are his personal concern. Well, not only the past and the present we can be thankful for, but let me also say, because of that, we can have great assurance that God is going to be there to see us through even tomorrow. In the fourth verse of this psalm here, it says, all the earth will worship you. This psalmist saw that day when God would reign and the world would respond to him in great worship. And you know, God's promises will be fulfilled. His purposes are going to be completed. And God is working in history to bring about that great victory. And we have that wonderful assurance and promise of God. And you know, ultimately, if you want to reduce the stress level in your life, you got to change the way you think. I mean, stop and think about it. Most of us don't use our brains up to the full potential. I think all of us would have to acknowledge that, the potential that God has given to us. And whatever you put in your brain is what's going to come out. It's kind of like a computer, isn't it? Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you feed your mind, whatever you think about is going to come out in your life. The way you think is going to determine the way you feel, and the way you feel is going to determine the way you act. And so he says, if you want to change your life, you need to change your way that you're thinking about it. And if you're reading the newspaper all the time, if you're watching all the terrible stuff that's on the news, if you're doing that more than you're reading the Bible and praying, if you're watching some of these TV shows and some of these movies that really portray an unhealthy life and all like that, you know, more than what God is teaching and what God is sharing, you know, it's amazing the things that people try to find peace in, isn't it? In the entertainment world, it's amazing the people that are going to yoga and crystals and from one masseuse to the other and fad diets and books and seminars and all that kind of stuff. And they run from one thing to the next. And yet the Bible says God's peace is a gift. It's a gift to you. And it can't be explained. It can't be duplicated or replicated or even fabricated. But it is a gift of God. And how do you get that kind of peace that keeps your heart at rest, even when these are pressure-filled times and busy time, that keeps you calm in crisis, that gives you strength in the storm, that helps you to be thankful in the tough moments in life? How do you have that kind of peace? Well, the Bible says repeatedly, it's as you trust in Christ Jesus. For he is the one that grants us that peace. It's all about relationship. And the Bible says it's only for those who have a relationship with Christ, who put their faith and trust in God. And if you haven't done that today, I want to encourage you to start this week off right by accepting Christ as your Savior. Nothing really in life at all even comes close. Now, I know a lot of people turn to astrology and others turn to mythology, and they compare this account maybe in life to that Greek mythology, the guy known as King Tantalus. And that's a figure, if some of you know mythology, is the story. He was punished in the underworld by being chained in a lake, and the water level would rise to his chin, and when he got thirsty and he would dip his chin down to try to take a drink of water, it would recede. It was always out of his reach. And the lake was surrounded by these beautiful fruit trees, and the fruit, these branches were like right over the water, and it was hanging right down close to his head. And every time he would get up on tiptoes and move his mouth to try to take a bite of the fruit, it would withdraw. And he never could get his thirst quenched or his stomach full. He was never fulfilled. And in fact, a symbol of that utter frustration, his name is immortalized in the English word tantalize. And make no mistake about it today, Jesus is who will fully satisfy and fulfill your life. And let us be grateful in this season. And let me say, even if you can't be thankful for what you have, be thankful for what you have escaped. Or as that Ethiopian proverb said, do not blame God for having created the tiger, but thank him for not having given it wings. Be thankful today for what God has given to you. Shall we pray? Oh God, we ask your blessing today upon your people. For whatever is bugging us, whatever is really gnawing on our spirit and keeping us in kind of a depressed or maybe saddened mood, oh, let us be reminded today of so much that we can be thankful for. And for things, Lord, that you have protected us along the way and we just didn't even know it. Oh, help us to rejoice, to relax in your presence, and to name and call those blessings out one by one, the way in which you have touched our lives. For we give you thanks in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.